Let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah 11. We'll just read verse 1 and 2 and we'll run. Father, thank you for grace. Thank you for utterance. Please make this conversation spiritual. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Inspire us further in this journey. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. So Isaiah 11, the Bible says, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Amen. So I want to speak to us this morning on wisdom, but not just wisdom as we know it. One of the elements of wisdom there that it's key for us, I believe, even in this time and as we continue to walk with God. So this is what, if you're familiar with the scripture, this is what many people or many theologians refer to. This is one of the scriptures where many theologians refer to the seven spirits of God. How many of us have heard that phrase before? Seven spirits of God, or the seven expressions of the Spirit of God, because it's one spirit really, but seven distinct expressions. So the Bible says, it talks about the spirit of wisdom. And if you look at wisdom as God would give you grace and help you, there are a couple of elements that make up wisdom. And I just want to pick one of those elements today and then would run. One of the elements that make up wisdom here, the Bible is talking about skillfulness. Amen. Can we say skillfulness? So what does that mean? It means that as you are walking with God, as you're walking with Jesus, you will be more skillful in the things of the Spirit. The Bible speaks about some people that are unskillful in the word of righteousness. Hebrews chapter 5. Have you come across that scripture before? It says some people are unskillful in the word of righteousness. In another place, it talks about people that rightly divide the word of truth. I think I've shared this with us before. How many of you know that if you take a gun and you've never really learned how to shoot, you can shoot yourself? And we see that happen in some movies and in real life, really. It's just that you don't know the people that it happens to. Amen. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are what? They are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, or in God, to the pulling down of strongholds. So we have weapons, but how skillful are we in using those weapons? So I want to talk about skillfulness. When the Bible talks about wisdom here, it's one of the things it's talking about is the skillfulness to live your life in a correct way as God has designed it. Are we following? This is going to be very brief and short, but beyond the words, I trust God that you will get the impartation. Amen. So God is a skillful God. One of the reasons that Jesus is beautiful is that Jesus is skillful. The way he answered the Pharisees. How many of you want to answer your critics like that. They could never really box him to a corner. And if you get this, you will see that the beauty of God, the beauty of Jesus will be more and more evident in your life. So he says the spirit of wisdom. And I said I'm dealing with one of the elements of wisdom there, because there are a couple of things that make up the wisdom that the Spirit of God brings. And one of the things we're looking at this morning with the help of the Holy Spirit is what? Skillfulness. Amen. Let's say that word again. Skillfulness. You have to be skillful. You must keep getting better and better with your weapons. The weapons that you do life with. How many of us know that we're not just doing church? Amen. We're doing life. And if you're doing life, there are weapons that you do life with. I think it was Prophet Ayo that put it so beautifully. He says that revelation fundamentally, essentially, is for living. It's not necessarily for preaching and all of that. And that's what religion means, basically. Anything that you cannot use outside this place is useless. You don't need it. And that's why a lot of people are useless to God, useless to man, useless to everybody around them, Monday through to Saturday. And then they come on Sunday and they are just stressing everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. So skillfulness. You have to be skillful. One of the things that you must be skillful at, I will just touch on two or three as we have grace. Because we want to finish early today. And that begins with me. So if I take time, every other thing will just, but I would set a very good example and then we'll just run. Amen. One of the things that we have to be skillful at is we've heard many words. You've heard teachings. Amen. You come here every Wednesday. You come here every Sunday and you've heard the word of God. You must now find a way with the help of the Holy Spirit to skillfully bring all those things together and convert it to energy for your life. Amen. It's not everybody that knows how to do this. This is the reason why some people in 2020 are still carried away by messages. You come today, maybe you hear a word on prosperity. You come next week, you hear something that looks different, and then you're carried away. You are excited and all of that, but you've never really been able to connect the dots. Are we following? You've never really been able to connect the dots. Part of the skillfulness here, and that's why it's a function of the Spirit. It's not a human ability. For example, you would discover that in your life, have you ever realized that in your life, even events that you thought were not connected, were not relevant to your destiny, your journey, by the time God begins to open your eyes, you see that everything is connected. Are we together? You must be able to bring everything that you're hearing together and convert it to energy for your life so that you keep going, you keep running, you continue in this journey. Praise God. How many of us know that essentially, pastor only has one message in different ways. Do you understand this? But if you, as you begin to grow and as you begin to mature, you would realize that it's really the same thing. It doesn't matter the topic we give it. It doesn't matter the guest minister that comes. It's essentially the same thing. And I thought about this when I was just preparing. I said I would give two or three people the mic. Let's even know if we're deceiving ourselves. What do you think pastor's message is? Who wants to volunteer? What do you think, if you are to summarize all of Pastor Zach's messages? Some of us have been listening to him now. Some of you have been listening to him now from your UNAD days. Some joined us along the way. So if you are to put everything together, what do you think is his primary message? Is he a preacher of love? Or a man of war? What do we think? So let's get volunteers quickly. We don't have all the time. Who wants to volunteer? You know it now. It's not an exam. I'll give people the mic. Okay, we have one answer, the kingdom message. Any other answer? Gospel message. One more. Glory. Amen. Hallelujah. And you see, that's why this conversation is so important. You must be able to bring, I'm telling you, a lot of people, and this is one reason why a lot of people are still very, very scattered. If you don't understand this, your life will still have segments. You will still have worship life, prayer life, marital life, all those things, business life, career, and all that. But you must be able to bring everything together. This is one of the things that makes God God, the ability to connect the dots. And it's a skill of the Spirit. It's not a human ability. You must be able to take everything. So one of the things you have to be skillful at, for example, bringing it home now. Jesus said, take heed how you hear. You don't just hear God and hear his men anyhow. Because it's possible you can hear, how many of you know you can hear what, for example, you can hear what I'm not saying now. Because there are spirits whispering to you. Don't mind him, what he's saying is just, he's just saying his own. And that's the warfare that we face. You can hear what is not being said, and then you can totally miss what is being said. And that happens all the time. So I want to encourage you, even in hearing preachers, there is a skill of the Spirit that is involved. Do you understand this? Remember, we're talking about skillfulness. There is a skill that you should live your life with. There is a skill that comes as you are walking with God. We're going to end this conversation by talking about offense, because that is one thing that has grounded many of us today. As you are walking with God, you must become an expert in managing offense, in dealing with offense. Amen. The Bible says that offenses will surely come. If Jesus says something will surely come, then you know that it will surely it will surely come. But then he didn't stop there. He says, woe to that person by whom the offense comes. Amen. And I think that's the scary part. And if you are not even skillful, you might just be the person in the second part of that verse, distributing offense everywhere that you go. You know, some people are highly offensive. And I want to encourage you, look at your life. I don't know if you have periodic audits. Look at your life. Minimize the risk of offense by cutting some people off. You can't eliminate it totally, but you can reduce the risk. I'm telling you, there are some people in your life, if you don't do anything about them, you will constantly be offended. And the thing about offense is that I was talking to us last week about participation. One of the major reasons for offense is to stop you from participating in the things of God. You are so wounded, and sometimes in extreme cases, people don't even want to be Christians anymore. Amen. It won't start out from there, but that's where it is going ultimately. For example, you have a lot of people now that don't really want to go to church anymore because they have been dealt with. Amen. And the offense is there, and it's just a lot of things. So that's a whole body entirely. But we'll come to that. So you have to be skillful. Every time you read that place, please let's go back to Isaiah 11. Every time you read this, one of the things that should come to your mind, one of the word translated wisdom here, one of the things it means is skillfulness. Living your life, the skills by which you live your life. Amen. If you forget everything that I'm saying, please don't forget this. There is a skill. And by skill, I'm not reducing it to vocational skill. That's not what I'm talking about. But the way that God helps you, the way that God leads you. For example, if you want to rebuke someone, how many of you know there's a way to do it? And what happens many times is that you're rebuking someone, hopefully out of love, but the person hears something totally, totally different. Now, sometimes it's not always your fault. It could be a function of the darkness in the person's soul and in the person's heart. But there is just a way to go about it if we're truly going to be like God. When we are not skillful, we would lose opportunities to be witnesses for Jesus. Because opportunities will just come and you just mess everything up. Hallelujah. There is a skillfulness that God gives as you are following Him, as you are walking with Him. You won't just be doing things anyhow. There's a story that Pastor Corey always shares, true life story, and this would bring some of these points home. He said there was a time they were talking at home, and then I think it was about heaven and hell. And then someone now asked him and said, so we are not going to heaven. He says, yes, all of you are going to hell. And he says, as he left there, I'm just summarizing. Many of you remember the story. And he says, as he left the room, he says, God told him, so do you think you have you have defended me. And he said he didn't find it funny. Let's put it like that. Amen. There is a skillfulness that requires. And I'm not just talking about diplomacy or learning how. No, it's beyond that. Because if you remember, this is coming from the Spirit of God, the throne of God. If we're going to be like God, if we're going to be like Jesus, then this is something that we will need to, this is something that we will need to embrace. Amen. One of the reasons our message is not, remember, one of the reasons our message is not attractive to unbelievers is because of a lack of skill in presenting it. Amen. During the last U.S. elections, you'd hear some arguments from Christians, and you are just embarrassed, to say the least. Amen. Now they are arguing, they are passionate, but there's no skill. The more they are trying to make their points, the more they are just spoiling everything. Amen. And this is one of the reasons the Bible says that it's good to be slow to speak. At least if you are slow to speak, you will not expose yourself. The Bible says that a fool, when he is quiet, is considered wise. But till you open your mouth and people see that, it's the opposite. Amen. So there is a skill that we are all to live our life by as we're walking with Jesus. This is a very, very practical thing. One of the reasons people are not serious with God is because they've not yet embraced a message that they can use beyond Sunday. What I'm saying is, in your office, people will literally try to set traps for you. People will literally try to put you in situations where they think you would compromise, but it would take the skill of the Spirit to escape those situations. Just look at Jesus, and the Bible says he's our perfect example. Amen. In our day, there's a lot of accusation. But I don't know where I got this wisdom from. But how many of you know that there's a difference between being accused and being blameless? Amen. Amen. To be blameless means that one is from God. It means that when you stand before God, it doesn't matter what people might be saying, but God says you are blameless. And to be blameless, it will require the skill of the Spirit, which is one of the elements of wisdom that we're looking at. Does this make any sense to you? Or is it abstract? Please don't let it be abstract, because this, your life literally depends on this. Remember, revelation is for living, not for preaching or doing all those things. So, and all of us here, there is nobody here that is from Mars or from Pluto or all those planets. You are all doing life. You are all doing it actively. Amen. When you leave here and you go home, you belong to a family. You are required to function and all of that. So there is a skillfulness. I pray that you will see this as I'm seeing it. So the first place that the skillfulness is required is how we hear. And I want to encourage you as you participate in this house, as you do everything that you do, become more skillful in how you hear. Amen. Don't just go beyond what is being said to what is not being said. For example, as I'm talking now, what I'm not saying is more than what I'm saying. And so this is the real meaning of he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Amen. We're singing a song earlier, take away the veil. Hallelujah. So you must become more skillful. God cannot do much with soldiers that are not skillful. If we all agree that the word of God, for example, is a weapon, then we have to become more skillful in how we use that weapon so that you will not keep injuring yourself and injuring other people around you. Amen. So find a way with the help of God to bring everything that you're hearing and convert it. Pastor will always tell us about our conversion rate. What is your conversion rate? How quickly do you convert what you are hearing to life? Amen. And if you understand this, you will not be quick to jump from conference to conference, because every word that you hear is like a setup. You understand? You can no longer say you don't know. Amen. And they will judge you. One of the ways they will judge you is what you did with what you heard. Amen. Hallelujah. A lot of people today are going from deliverance house to deliverance house and all that. But what they really need is, if they have a pastor that is anointed and spirit-filled, gather the messages of that pastor and you'd have your deliverance. So you must find a way to bring everything together. Connect the dots. Amen. This is not a very exciting message because it places a lot of responsibility on us, but you will be glad that you subscribed to the process. The beauty, everybody that you admire in the kingdom is doing this at some level. There is a skillfulness that the Holy Spirit brings. Amen. So that you will be blameless. The days that we're living in are calling for this. Praise God. No more freestyling. Can you tell your neighbor, no more freestyling? You must skillfully, you must be able to skillfully separate the issues. Amen. You must know which issue is paramount in God's heart, which one is not really paramount in God's heart, and it takes the skill of the Spirit to do all of that. How many of us know that it even takes, remember, we've established that this is purely a function of the Holy Spirit. So it's divine. There's nothing earthly about it. So it's not just that I will read a book and then begin to claim what I am not. It is purely a divine function. And there's no shortcut to this. And this is one more reason why you should keep walking with Jesus. I promise you, if you keep walking with Jesus, you will get more skillful. The Bible says that, I'm paraphrasing now, it says that you should know how to answer every man. Amen. That's divine. It's not a human ability. There are questions that can throw you off balance. You won't even be sure again whether Jesus is Lord. Amen. It is purely a divine ability. Hallelujah. The skillfulness of the Holy Spirit. And it brings a lot of glory to God. It brings a lot of beauty to your life. You know, the psalmist says, let the beauty of our God. Psalm 90 verse 17. That's one of my favorite scriptures. It says, let the beauty of our God be upon us. And one of the reasons the beauty of God will be upon you is because you are walking in this, that the dimension of wisdom that brings skillfulness to your heart in how you just do your things. Amen. I've stayed on the first point. We must become more skillful in how we hear. Jesus said it, Luke 8:18. Take heed how you hear. As we're all seated now, we're all hearing different things, hearing at different levels, and some of us may not even be hearing at all. Amen. It's just the way life is. But we're saying that as you keep walking with God, you will become skillful, or you will become more skillful. You will not be unskillful in the word of righteousness. Amen. The Bible talks about, in that same Hebrews 5, it talks about people who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. God is skillful. You have to be skillful. Amen. You have to be more skillful. And one of the first places that we will see your skillfulness is in how you hear. Amen. You listen to some preachers. You must know how to separate. For example, if God helps you in this, you know when a preacher has gone off tangent. You take what you feel is beneficial to you and you run away. Because if you follow him off that tangent, your life will be off tangent. God forbid. Amen. Do you understand this? There's a lot of skill, and it's not complicated. It's just a function of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So bring everything together and know how to separate it. Praise God. Skill is very important. Even in natural life, have you ever been under a doctor that does not know what he's doing? Amen. I pray that you will never experience that in Jesus' name. As a church, we need to be grateful. There was a time pastor went to one so-called dentist. In fact, the only way I interpret that was that man was an agent. Maybe he won't be here today. Amen. And he said he had a dream before, but somehow he still went. And the guy was clearly on a mission. Amen. I think we're still in Dankaro that time. No skill. What he was meant to remove gently. Just, and if you know anything about the dental, some of us think it's easy. But even your teeth is connected to your nerves. So if you go in to a wrong, if you're under a dentist who is an agent, you might not make it. Amen. Hallelujah. Everything is connected. Or the people that do a pedicure with the malam. Amen. From there, something, those needles, you don't even know if it's sterilized. That's why some people just wake up, just say, you have HIV. And you are wondering, how did this HIV come? Have you seen all those people? Amen. Just malam. Just walking on the road. Just put your leg. I don't know how people do all those things. It's the boldness. Amen. And those guys are in money. Amen. There's no skill. Hallelujah. Even if you can't afford some places, I don't think it's very expensive. That's if you must even do that pedicure. Amen. Praise God. For example, have you heard of people that die from, I feel that's a very useless way to die. People that go for plastic surgery and they don't make it. What will you tell God when you stand before him? Amen. Hallelujah. Now we're not speaking against plastic surgery. If you feel you need it, just don't die. That's just my... Amen. Go and come out safely and fulfill your destiny. Amen. So what will you tell God? For example, maybe you wanted more bonbon and then you die in the process. What is the connection between that and what God is doing? Amen. Is it temple? I feel it's a very useless way to die. Amen. And many of those things are rooted in low self-esteem. That's why you must take the word of righteousness and let it deal with your esteem issues. All your complex, each one of the men of God I follow, he says, I have no complex problems. What he was saying was, you know, there's inferiority complex, there's superiority complex, there's ego. He says, all those problems, I don't have them. And that's someone that has stayed with the word of God. Hallelujah. So we must be skillful. Welcome, sir. We must be skillful in how we are hearing. Praise God. Especially people that are not your direct oversight. Be careful. I'm not saying don't listen, but know, you should know when, because all of us have a tendency to go off. Amen. And you have to be skillful. You have to be skillful. I'll never forget one time Loretta was telling us about, she said she was in a meeting, and then this guy was prophesying, began to prophesy, and then he got to a point, and then he told them, fuck you. And every time I remember that, I laugh, and it's not new. It happened in the Corinthian church. They prophesied to a point that they began to say that Jesus was cursed. Amen. So Paul now had to tell them again that no man speaking by the Spirit of God says that Jesus is accursed. Now, how do you get to that point? Amen. And you have to be skillful. Now, believe it or not, that, I can't even say it again because we're in a holy, that terminology, some people believe it is the Spirit of God. That God can say anything, God can, and they just keep flowing. I'm telling you, some people believe that. So we must be skillful hearers. Amen. And then the second point that I want to quickly bring home is how we manage offense. Where in those days now, there's going to be a lot of offense. And you must, and I want to encourage you, take your time, study this. You must know what many times offense does not have more than the mission of offense. What offense wants to do in a believer's life or in a soldier's life. The mission many times is not up to five. Most times it's just even one. Then from that one you can now begin to divide it into segments. But in a broad sense, it's just one. Stop you from participating. Amen. What is offense? Literally, offense means a stumbling block, a causing another person to sin. And when you hear that, your mind quickly goes to adultery, fornication, or even maybe stealing money and all that. But it's not always that extreme. You know, the Bible says, whatever is not of faith is sin. When you get to a point where you are just doing things out of the motions, those are for the people that may not have the liver yet to say they are no longer coming to church. But you know when you are just coming, but your heart is disconnected. And there are many people like that. Hopefully not here. But in many of our churches, there are many people like that. You must become skillful at managing offense. Always remember that the plan of offense is to stop you from participating or from continuing in this journey. Some people are so wounded, they don't really want to serve God anymore. When you begin to hear statements like, I don't do business with Christians, understand that there is danger there. If you keep relating with that kind of person, very soon, you too, you will not do business with Christians. I don't do business, so some have taken it higher. I don't do business with pastors. And truly, there are things that happen. Offense is real, though. Some of you, before you leave, you go home today, somebody here will offend you. It's not a word of knowledge. It's just the way life is. Offense is real. But remember, Jesus says, woe to him by whom the offense comes. You must constantly, and that's another skill again, you must constantly refuse the temptation to be a vehicle of offense. Some people are just offensive. And it's not, and you know, they cover it up by saying, that's how I am. I'm very blunt. I say it as it is. But you are offending people. Amen. Now there's the extreme of this. I'm not talking about you see someone you are meant to correct, you can't correct the person. That's not what we're saying. But remember, there is a way that God even corrects us. Amen. How many of you know that when God is chastising you, for example, there's no ambiguity. What he's saying is clear. Unless you want to deceive yourself, it's clear. You know where you missed it, and then you repent. it's very painful when you are trying to rebuke someone, for example, and all the person can get from that rebuke is something totally different. Amen. We will deal with the other person later, but we need to know that there is a skill around it. You must become an expert in managing offense. You must become what? An expert in managing offense. They asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive people that offend me? What did Jesus tell them? He says 70 times 7. Bible scholars tell us that that number is the number of eternity. So, it's not 490. Amen. It's not, because some of us, people have offended us more than. If it's 490, then when you get to 490, you will become a very nasty, wicked person. But that's the number of eternity. Do you know what eternity is? Our minds cannot even comprehend it. But Pastor Kumuyi tried to describe eternity once. And he says, if you want to have a glimpse, not even a full picture, he says, go to the beach. By the time you are able to clear all the sand, and I think the water, if you're able to do that, he says, then eternity is just starting. Amen. So, it's not something to joke with. And that's why the fire for souls has to return. The thought that someone can spend an eternity in hell, it has to move you. That's one simple way to know where you are spiritually. Is it important to you? It's not very, I wish I could say it was important to us, but it's not very important. I know this Lagos has a way of making you hardened. Most people now, when you hear people have died, it's just a statistic. Once that person, you just check, is he my church member? No. Is he my family member? No. Even that church member self, it depends on how we are doing the church. Amen. Because if it's a corporate arrangement, it doesn't really touch you. It doesn't really touch you much. Amen. So you must know that the thought of an eternity in hell is a big deal. And that's why God will go to any length to save just one person. And that's how you need to be as well. But that's not our discussion for today. So you must become an expert in managing offense. Amen. After a while, you will get to a point where, you know, one of the ways to know that you are growing spiritually is when some things that used to really, really get you angry, they don't have the same power on you again. Amen. How many of us have pet peeves? How many of us have pet? You don't know what pet peeves is? We're not touching this church. Basically, a pet peeve is something that really irritates you, gets you angry, and all of that. Amen. As you are growing, the things that irritate you should be reducing. Amen. So we must become an expert in managing offense. I said it earlier, some of us, you need to allow some offensive people go. You know, you can't, it's inevitable, but we can minimize the risk. Amen. We can, and think about it, you can minimize the risk. Some people, you know, you should cut off or keep them at arm's length. Don't say we're from the same village. By the time they are done with you, you won't know where you come from again. If you are from, whether you are from Zion, you won't know. Whether you are from Lagos, you won't know. Amen. So let's minimize the risk. Offenses will surely come, but woe to that man by whom they come. You must become skillful. You should be able to know when you can track offense. You should be able to know when it is coming. If it is still at that window, you've tracked it from where I'm standing, and you do the needful. Either you run away. If you can't run away, you prepare your heart. Do you understand this? But you can't be naive around offenses, because there are very few things that have the capacity to stop you in this journey like offense. Amen. I even dare say that offenses many times are more powerful than even Satan. Do you know how many people are holding grudges of things that happened 10 years ago? It doesn't matter what you preach. They can't just forgive. Amen. And that's why I want to encourage you. If you know anyone that has a terminal illness, people have prayed, one of the questions you ask, not all the time, but one of the questions you ask is there anybody that you are yet to forgive? And many times, the answer will be yes. There is a connection. I may not be able to explain it, but I know what I'm saying. There is a connection between unforgiveness, for example, and some sicknesses. Amen. Especially people that have gone to London, gone to America. They told them there's nothing wrong with them, but they know that they are dying. Amen. It's either jazz, pure jazz, not Lagos or American jazz, pure jazz, or soul issues. It is even the soul issues that empower the jazz. Amen. Have you heard of people? I've heard one or two stories, and I'm always glad of people that maybe they took them to a herbalist. You know, when a herbalist is telling you that that person's head is strong, leave that person alone. I like those kind of stories. Amen. The herbalist is the one telling the person that came that just leave this person. This person has not done anything. And if you attempt to do anything to this person, anything you see, you take it like that. Amen. Amen. So we must become experts in managing offense. Praise God. Especially people that are close to you. I'm not saying prepare for offense, but you just have to find a way to ensure that offenses don't stop you. Amen. Because all of us, what we can take is different. But the game plan every time is to stop you. Stop you from participating. Stop you from walking with God. And if you are not very skillful, you will be affected. Do you know how many soldiers that we have lost to offense, and we're still losing? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why you must thank God for a church like this, not perfect, but at least the emphasis is on community. And if it's community, you know that there's going to be a lot of offense. I remember one of us one time, and I'll wrap up with this. He came to me, was very angry. And what was the issue? He said that he wanted to visit one of us. And that one said, why are you coming? Why do you want to come to my house? Don't come. And he was very upset. He said, no, I don't like all these kind of things. And I started to explain to him and all that. Even though we are doing community, you can't just visit. Some people are not there, they are not there. Amen. Amen. You can't call, if you want to call some people, please check the timer. You can't, don't say it's a community church. You call some people by 11 o'clock. The answer you will get may not be sanctified. Amen. We're all at different levels. But you must learn how to manage offense. Amen. When you see people that are still going despite everything, then you know that God has really helped these people. Hallelujah.